you ever wonder where it all went wrong? Find yourself cursing life for being unfair? Struggle with where you are, why you're here, or even how things would be if you could only just get your act together and sort your life out? You're not alone. In fact, I'd wager that most people feel stuck, dissatisfied, or at least a little bit disenchanted, if not with their entire life, perhaps one or more aspects of it. It's easy to blame everything outside of ourselves for our unhappiness, the thing that was done to us, our bad luck, the injustice of an unfair world. But when we curse the world for all that goes wrong, we also end up wishing the world would bring us that magical payday we've been waiting for all along, our big break, and grumbling our days away, waiting for it to happen. But it's not the world out there that's going to dish up the good life, but the world within us. The energy that we bring to our days, the action that we take, our attitude towards what is working for us and what isn't. The Sufi poet Rumi said, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself." This is Conversations on Living, a podcast about how to be well, do well, and live well. I'm Chris Brock, and I'm trying to figure out the secret algorithm of how we can all live a life of contentment, fulfillment, and realise our potential. This week, I'm speaking with Chris Plord. Chris is a conscious performance coach who has worked with organisations such as Disney, Lululemon, and Twitter, as well as high-level CEOs, athletes, celebrities, and even armed forces special ops soldiers. He says if we want things to be better, we have to do better, and seek out the patterns and triggers inside ourselves in order to make the changes we need to escape the things we don't want in our lives, and to embrace more of what we do want. As I often say, when we step up to life, life will step up to meet us. You can find out more about Chris at his website, www.chrisplourde.com, that's P-L-O-U-R-D-E. But before we get into this conversation, a quick word to the guys at Headliner. Headliner is the app that I use to create audiograms with which I market this podcast. You've probably seen them on social media. They're little graphics with moving waveforms or captions and snippets of audio from podcast episodes. If you host a podcast, I would recommend Headliner. It's probably the easiest and most powerful way to create them. So if that's your cup of tea, then check them out at www.headliner.app. And also a quick word about Plane. Plane is a game made by guest of the podcast, friend of the podcast, Krish Shrikumar. It's a meditation game, so you are invited to create a beautiful island, nurture it, grow plants and trees, using just the power of mindfulness. It's a game that teaches simple relaxation, meditation and mindfulness techniques. Definitely worth checking out, and that's at www.plane.co, that's P-L-A-Y-N-E. And also, just a quick request from me, wherever you get your podcast, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe, and you can also find more episodes at conversationsonliving.com, and there's also stuff about me there as well, my writing, my books, meditations and that kind of stuff, and you can sign up to my monthly newsletter there as well. And now, without any further to do, this is me chatting about how we can get unstuck and live a life of our dreams with Chris Plord. All right, so Chris Plord, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your time. It's pretty sunny where you are. It's nighttime and quite cold where I am. But the power of technology brings us together, and I'm very grateful for your time, giving up your lunchtime today. And you're a conscious performance coach.
I am. And thank you for having me. Yes. It is a little sunny here and a little later where you are. I'm in LA. I think you're in Europe.
Just not far from London. So,
okay.
Just sort of in the countryside where it's still quite frosty and cold and, but it is what it is. This is the UK's temperate climate. It keeps us all on our toes. But I have a strong yearning to move out to where you are, because it does, the weather does seem much more appealing.
It's pretty nice. I got to say, though, you know, I do miss the snow sometimes. You know, we're pretty close, but being in Southern California, you know, it is great. But I come from the East Coast, where New England, where we had all the seasons at one point, but we get back there every so often. But,
yeah,
you know, we're pretty lucky to be here. Yeah. So,
well, I've only been to LA a couple of times, and you know, it's always left me wanting more when I've departed again. But but you're pretty much living the dream out there. You worked in the fitness industry for a while, didn't you? And you then you moved into coaching, and you've worked with some big name clients like Disney and Lululemon and Twitter. And you've also mentored you know, famous names, you've got top business people on your sort of client list, fitness people in the fitness industry, even military special ops people. How did that happen? How did you get into that kind of shift from, you know, being in the fitness industry and moving into the kind of mental fitness industry, if you like, life fitness?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because even prior to being in the fitness industry, you know, I had this program that was put into my head at a young age of you need to get a business degree and get a good job with a great company, and then you're going to be happy and then you'll be successful. And I did that and I followed that. And when I got that, the fulfillment, the happiness wasn't there. And, you know, always being an athlete and pursuing sports my whole life, and then coming out to California and doing ultra endurance sports, cycling and triathlons, and ultra distance mountain biking, you know, it was really my passion, my love. And, you know, helping people achieve that dream or being able to work with people was something I just always did. And I never really gave it much thought. I was like, I'm just going to help you because it just feels good to do that. And, you know, it's not about work. It's about just living in what I need to live. It's doing what I need to do. And hey, let me show you how to do this so we can both be happy. So it was funny when I finally realized that I needed to, or I wanted to pursue fitness or coaching in the fitness industry and presenting as a full-time gig, I was like, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I actually get paid for this. And I remember taking my first check and going, they're actually going to pay me to do this. This is, I can make a living off of this. And so I did that. And I worked for various companies, big name fitness companies. I presented, certified thousands of instructors around the world, created my own content at different conferences, as well as presented theirs. And a lot of the content was about self-development. It was about going deep inside your soul. It was about really doing what makes you the best authentic instructor, teacher, trainer you can be. And so that was always been my drive, my passion is to get to the deep layers of what was the why, what drove people. And when I realized that all the material I created over the years wasn't just for fitness professionals, it was for life. And delivering it one day, my client says, I think you could work with my sales team. I really think I love your message and it would be great if you could come and talk to them. And I did. And I ended up presenting at their sales meeting and then working with them one-on-one and so on, and did that a couple times for about 3 months at a time. And after 3 months, we had a 30% increase in sales and a all-time record high revenue that they've had in their company. And it was in the whole point of it was just about working with their own individual needs. It was putting up boundaries. It was being able to kind of do things the way their personalities worked with it, you know, worked best. It was being able to look at all areas of their life and say, where's the imbalances here? And how can we sharpen this up? And I think that's when I look back, that's kind of was the turning point of like, this is what I want to do. I want to work with people, not just in performing in their athleticism, but performing at the best in all areas of their life. And so with the word conscious, it's just about doing it deliberately and having the conscious performance of it, being able to pursue it and be the best version of themselves they can be. So that's just the quick short of it.
I mean, you've worked with a lot of people. Do you find there are kind of common themes? You know, you've worked with probably, well, you know, a wide variety of people. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're the same kind of problems come up in people's lives time and time again, kind of things that we think are unique, but actually we're all kind of pretty much stuck on the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to reframe them as, you know, we all had problems, but when we can reframe them to challenges and opportunities, I think that's when we start to really make the shift in our lives, right? Rather than going, this is happening to me, making that language change to this is happening for me. And, you know, some of the things that I've seen is people getting stuck in their own victim stories. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a way of, I had this situation or situations happen to me, and I wouldn't want to wish this on anybody because it was so hurtful and painful. And yes, it happened, whatever that was, right? But how do we shift from this has happened in my life at a certain age, or these four things or five things, and what can we do to look at the gifts and the lessons that came out of those things, right? Why did we program ourselves to avoid certain feelings, right? To go into a place of, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to run away from what I don't want, right? As opposed to shifting and going, this happened. I am a strong man, a strong woman. I have this unbelievable, you know, like I said, again, gifts or qualities that I developed over the years. Now, how can I use those to take my passions to find my purpose and be in service in the world? And I think that's what we're trying to get people to really connect with, is that they are here for a unique purpose. And when they can see that, when they can own it, I think their life's trajectory starts to shift into this beautiful place.
Do you ever find that people get quite attached to their suffering because it's kind of what they know, it's what they're familiar with?
Yeah.
And when you start to kind of say, you know, if you want to change your world, you have to change yourself, your patterns, your, you know, attachment to these things that have become part of your identity. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find that there's a kind of defensiveness that comes back at you? Sort of, you don't understand, you know, I can't because of X, Y, Z. I've got all these reasons why I have to stay stuck almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because I think it's because, first of all, there's a defensiveness or an anger that is covered over that emotion, right? When we don't allow ourselves to truly feel our emotions, feel the feelings, then there's certain containers that come out. And the problem is, if you have these feelings that aren't really felt or they're unknown, they come out in ways that you don't necessarily want them to. They come out passive aggressively. Usually the anger is a cover up for sadness or shame or guilt or whatever the case may be. So it's a matter of building a trusting relationship and being able to kind of eventually extract those emotions, because I think vulnerability is a really courageous thing to have, and feel those feelings and realize that, look, this is part of who I am. It's not something you need to be ashamed of. This is part of who I am, and I need to be able to work with this in order to move to the next level. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. And it takes a little bit of work to shift that. And to speak upon, are people, do they want to keep that? Yeah, because that's what they've known for decades, right? And when you release that void of something it's always been a part of them, then there's an emptiness. And some people are more scared of the emptiness. But what we can do is actually, if we get them to reframe that, replace that emptiness or that fear or that guilt or whatever was there for so many years, replace it with a bit of purpose, replace it with gratitude, replace it with joy, replace it with excitement, and get them to kind of live their life from that standpoint, as opposed to where they've been for so long. So anything, any type of change we do, the ego is just going to go, no, I want to stay where I was because that's what I know. But the shift takes that shaking up of to get to that new level, to be able to say, okay, this is where I want to go.
Do you find there's a point where people kind of commit to the change? You know, they're tentative at first, they're kind of reluctant, they're even kind of fighting against it. But does there come a point where something clicks and they kind of say, I can see there is change is happening here. I can see there's the potential for something bigger to happen.
Yeah, 100%.
What do you see? When do you see that moment?
I'll give you an example that happened yesterday. So I was working with this with a new client, probably about 2 months in, or month and a half or so, and she's having some you know, conflict at home, and she really just wants to find her purpose, what she is. She's a mom, this and that, and you know, I've talked to them both, and this isn't therapy. Coaching is more of what do we have right now and where are we going? We will hit upon the past, but only for those energy lines of forming habits of why we did this. So I asked her, I said, so why do you keep getting triggered? What is that thing that keeps coming up with you and your spouse? He's like, well, he's not letting me make my own decisions. I said, okay. And how does that feel? You know, I'm so angry. I go, well, what's underneath that anger? Well, I'm sad. That makes me feel sad. I go, okay, when else did that happen in your life? How old were you? And she's like, wait a minute, what? And I go, how old were you when that happened, first happened? She goes, well, I was 4. I go, tell me what happened. She goes, well, my brothers would always make the decisions for me, and I couldn't make any decisions. So I became quiet and I just covered it up. And what she did is she built this armor and this, nothing can touch me. I'm happy and I'm going to make up this mind. But there was a programming that got started at a very young age that was about when people are making decisions for her, she didn't have a voice. And so years, decades later, her husband that she thinks is making these controlling remarks for her was triggering that old wound from when she was a kid. And it was like this big, like, oh, that's why he's triggering me. So it comes to the point where, can you look at that little girl and instead of looking at her and pitying her, look at her and love her, right? Look at this point when you get triggered and when these judgments come up, when this thing comes up, look at your husband, go, he's here to teach you, to show you where you're not free. And so that completely shifted her inside. And by the time we got off the call, she was like, that was like a, like I got this big weight lifted off my chest, because she remembered she's been carrying that for her entire life of putting blocks up and getting angry with people that would try to make decisions for her. So it's to the point where she gets to now understand where that programming came from and now start to make other decisions based upon these new triggers that are going to come to her, right? And by the way, it doesn't just go away. It's one of these things where it comes up again and she goes, oh, okay, I see that. I'm going to shift this and go, what does that feel like? Let's connect to that. And then it goes away and it gets a little, and then it comes around again. And it's like, but it's a little lighter. And then it comes around again. It's a little lighter. And it comes around again. It's a little lighter until eventually it becomes this little whisper. It becomes this little tiny whisper. And the big trigger that happens starts to go away, and they start to form new neural pathways and new habits in their life. So,
yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, it's that mm-hmm. constant reworking of those neural pathways. I've been through a similar thing myself, where I'd get very uptight about certain things. I'd feel triggered. Yeah. And then I learned that, you know, these emotions, they're coming from inside me. They're not being forced upon me by someone. Even if I, you know, someone saying something that I disagree with or something that triggers me, that reaction is coming from inside me. So
that's right.
I spent many months just telling myself, just let it go, let it go, let it go. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, I didn't have to say that anymore. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of, but it took a long, long time. You know, it's similar to the fitness profession. You know, it's like training for a new sport or lifting a new weight. Right. You know, you're training the body, you're training the mind to develop these new skills, new abilities, new kind of internal narratives, if you like.
That's exactly it. And here's it's resistance, right? And like you mentioned, and I actually posted about this yesterday, it was about resistance. Anytime we go to the gym, right? Go for a swim, go for a run, go for a bike ride. What do you need in order to get fit? You know, resistance. It's the same thing in life. Resistance is going to keep surfacing, keep coming to us. And now we can either learn to fight the resistance like we've been doing for so many years, or we can learn to dance with it because it's a part of the process. And if we can learn to dance with the resistance, life is going to be so much more enjoyable. Right. But that's what's strengthening us. That's what's literally burning new neural pathways in our brains. We're forming new habits. And that is occurring as we meet this, as we do the work. And that's what I think discipline is not about suffering. Discipline is not about suffering. Discipline is about committing to yourself. It's an act of self-love so that you can be internally free. And that's what you did when you said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to feel this. And it changes eventually.
Do you ever find that the idea of doing that work puts people off entirely? And, you know, they come to you, they kind of expect you to kind of help them, fix them. But when they realize they're the ones who are going to have to face this stuff, they're like, actually, no, this isn't for me. Yeah. I'm going to just stay where I am, stuck.
I make it quite clear, you know, what kind of work we're going to be doing. And I talk to a lot of people that aren't ready, you know, and that's okay. They're going to be ready when they're ready. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, you know, early days in the fitness industry, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, is that I can't want it more. I did want it more for them than they wanted it for themselves. And there would be set up for a lot of disappointment in my earlier years. But what I realized is that they're just not ready yet. You know, they're not ready to step in to this new life, and that's okay. And when I just kind of gave them the space to say, this is up to you. If you want to do the work, then fantastic. I'm going to be right here to help you sharpen your tools, to hold up the mirror, but it's only when you're ready. Because as a coach, I can't force people and hold their hand and say, you got to do, you know, you got to have to. It's not that. It's like, as a coach, I'm here as a teammate, as someone who's doing is really your biggest fan, but I'm going to be in service of you and give you the truth that you need. And it's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it if you're committed to your happiness and fulfillment.
You talked about running away from what you don't want and running towards what you do want. Do you ever find people who are really clear on what they do want? Or do you find the majority of people you work with just want something different than what they've got? They want to run away from something, but they don't know where they necessarily want to go to.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the whole running away from what you want, I think, is based on survival, right? Survival. It's a left brain type of mechanism that, by the way, a lot of people have built some great companies and lives off of, and like great from the outside. But I get to see, you know, they might have plenty of money and they might have gone through certain things, and they, from the outside, it looks fantastic. But if they can, but you really, when you get down to it, say, are you really happy? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your fulfillment level? And if they're telling me a 5 or 6, then that's a no, they're not really happy. So what I get to do as a coach, and we talked about this a bit earlier, is take them from that judge left brain, that judgment, that saboteur type of energy, right? That was originally put into our brains to keep us alive from the saber-toothed tiger, the places where we used to live thousands of years ago that no longer exist. The shift comes from understanding that we can live in a place of right brain, sage or Jedi, or a place of mastery, right? Where you're coming from a compassionate standpoint, you're coming from a place of innovation, a place of just creativity. And when studies show, if we can come from that place and we can train ourselves to come from that place, we're going to live 10 times, 10 to 20 years longer. We're going to be producing 30% more in our businesses. We're going to, you know, be that much happy, exponentially happier. But again, it takes that recognizing of, am I running? Am I making my decisions based on what I don't want to feel and what I don't want anymore in my life? Hence scarcity, or a moment that you lived when you were 12 years old that you no longer want that to feel that, or haven't dealt with that? Or do you want to live in that joyful place? Do you want your cup to be full and overflowing so that you're at your very best self in all areas? You know, I asked a client a couple months ago, I said, you know, she's a mom, she's working in the finance industry, trying to become a coach. She's well on her way to be doing that, you know, wife. So she's got a lot on her plate. And I asked her that exact question. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your fulfillment level? And I'll ask all of you guys this, right? I did a big retreat with 50 CEOs. And I asked this question as well, right? They're all millions of dollars in their companies, but are you truly happy? And so when I asked this client of mine, I said, what's that number? She said, a 5. I said, if you're a 5, what do you think you're able to give to your children? How much of you are you able to give to your children if you're only at a 5, being your best self? And she was just like, oh my God. Like it really hit her, going, wow, if I want to be the best mom I can be, then I need to step up and I need to start taking care of myself. And I need to start putting back into me what I give to everybody else, so that cup is filled up. And then you can see and come from that space, that beautiful space in the right brain that we get to actually measure and come from. But that's what I love to do with my clients, is get them to recognize where they came from, and not, you know, where they are, they did what they did. And now let's accept where we are in this moment right now. And let's start moving up that second mountain in life and start ascending, not controlling the path, but allowing all these beautiful gifts and these amazing challenges to come into our life. But we just got to get into action, because it's not going to happen if we keep wishing it. We got to start ascending and get into some massive action in order to make those shifts and changes.
There was, you were talking before about, you know, this kind of falling in love with the process and that kind of thing. And, yeah. You know, living a joyful life and doing joyful things. And I had a conversation the other day with a very wise chap. And he said, a lot of the work we do is results-based, and those results are based in fear. So there's always, you know, you have to perform at work. Otherwise, you get into trouble. You have to, you know, your house depends on it. If you can't make the payments, you know, you lose your house, your family are kind of thrown out onto the street, this kind of stuff. So everything in that context becomes done out of fear. And so the joy disappears and you fall out of love with the process. And this is why perhaps so many people hate their jobs, for example, or they hate anything where a kind of, you know, results are required, because there's that fear attached to it. Is that literally about shifting your mindset? Is it about kind of, I can dismiss the fear, or does it require a whole life change? You know, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to find something I love. You know, it's like the old thing, you know, if you can't live the life you love, then love the life you live, you know.
Is it about
just changing our mindset, or can we change our lives completely?
Well, it is, but it takes time. Like if somebody comes to me and, you know, they have three kids and a mortgage and this and that, and they go, I'm just not happy in my job. I want to make a change. I'm not going to say, okay, first we're going to do is quit. Right. And then that creates a whole other bit of like fear and scarcity. We start to identify, first of all, where you want to be, not just materially, not just results based, but ethereally. Emotionally, right? How are you going to show up from the inside out? Like when you wake up on a Monday morning, how do you want to feel, right? What are you doing in the course of your week? What kind of meetings are you having? What kind of tribe, what kind of team do you surround yourself with on a regular basis? So it's identifying those things. And so, and some people can't see it because they're like, well, if I just move to, you know, this state or country and had this kind of house, and, you know, that all goes away. Cause I could hand anybody that's listening to this right now, you know, and I'm sure I'll get a little pushback, but you know, 50 million US or 100 million, whatever. And they were able to like quit their jobs and do what they want. But the thing is, they can go travel around the world and buy their houses and their cars and this and that. But after 2 years or a year and a half, they're going to come back and they're going to go, there's something missing, right? There's something not quite there. Even though I thought having all this money and this, so to speak, freedom was going to give me happiness, it's not. And what is it that I need to do or want to do or get to do in life that's going to provide me with just that? And it's really taken peeling back the layers and taking off the mask and getting real and say, what is it that happened in my life that I can start to own? What are those things? What are those five or six things that I have been through in my life that have taught me and made me the man or woman I am today? As opposed to, I wish that on nobody and nothing ever shouldn't happen. That shouldn't have happened, right? The difference between victimizing is, if that didn't happen, you're a victim, then I would be here. That's victim mentality, right? You can't change the past. The other part of it is owning, hey, this happened. What happened? How did it make me feel? And what did I learn? And who did I become because of these situations? Now it's taking those gifts eventually, combining them with your passions and saying, now, how can I be in service? I think humans they're programmed to be in service to the world, to humanity, to others. And when we can truly do that, and do it from a place of our own heart, our own soul, not just something that, yeah, that's a great charity to give to, but what is it that you get to do? Then I think that level of fulfillment and happiness and success really starts to take shape. But again, the layers and the masks need to come off, and we need to get really real with ourselves first and foremost. Let's look in the mirror and say, what is it that I haven't looked at fully? What haven't I felt fully? And be that example, not only for, you know, your children, of course, because you get to do the work on yourself, but for your community, for the people around you. You know, you don't have to tell them what you're doing. Just do it for yourself and they'll notice. They'll see the shifts. You'll start to vibrate at a higher level and start to just become the person that you were already, that you were born with, that little soul that came out, that was kind of, you know, went through this life and took a hit here and formulated a way of doing something here and created a habit that no longer serves them anymore. Right. It's peeling it all back, getting light and just going after it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, I have worked, done the work. I've worked on myself on things I didn't like. And, you know, pretty much I've got a handle on a lot of it, but it still takes work. And there are times when I wake up in the morning and I still can't face the day. How do you, I mean, as a fitness professional, how do you maintain a kind of state, you know, that state where you can see those thoughts and you can kind of go, no, I'm not listening to you today because I've got work to do. I've got to, you know, to improve myself. I've got to live a better life here. And I'm not going to let those old ways of thinking creep back in. How can you best kind of prepare yourself for that?
Well, I think it's not necessarily just dismissing and pushing them down. Right? It's first of all, I think it's like, okay, give yourself permission to acknowledge that they're there. There's hard days. There's no doubt. And this work is not easy, but it is worth it. It's saying, okay, I see you, fear. I see your energy is a little low. I see that there's anxiety coming up for some reason. Where is that anxiety coming from? What is it I'm nervous about? You know, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Oh, I didn't eat so well last night. Oh, I had a couple, you know, I drank a bottle of wine or too many beers or whatever. So you do those things and you start to make these small shifts, these small habits, right? Because I know like one of my clients who's doing great for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then he had a Monday where he didn't sleep well. And I asked him about his diet and what he ate the day before and a couple other bad things that he did. And it spiraled him out for that next Tuesday where he just had a really funky day. And it was just really, he was taking those steps forward, but then he had a really bad day on Tuesday, but we were able to identify why, right? And we, you know, we look at blood sugar, we look at some of those energy hacks that we can give ourselves, right? That we can shock ourselves into a better place. You know, how's your exercise routine? Are you meditating? Do you do breath work, which is a phenomenal thing to do? You know, I mean, I'm addicted to hitting the sauna 4 or 5 times a week in a cold shower or a cold plunge. You know, there's so many things that you can inquire. And I know some of your listeners probably go, that sounds awful, right? But I don't negotiate with myself in that realm. I know that I'm going to be doing some sort of movement a couple times a day, whether that's yoga, whether that's, you know, a run, which I just did, right? Because I was sitting at a computer for 3 hours and I'm like, well, I got an hour off. I'm going to go for a quick run so that I can keep myself sharp and happy and get those endorphins and dopamine release so I can be good for this, you know, next podcast we have. But it's looking at lifestyle, right? Not just in the physical, but now let's get into the meditation. You know, let's look at, are you writing on a regular basis? You know, that works for a lot of people. What are you reading? What podcasts are you listening to, right? What type of people are you hanging out with? Because I know there's certain people that I can get off the phone with and I'm just like, I'm exhausted right now. And then there's others I can get off the phone with and go, whoa, I just got a boost of everything and I feel amazing. So we're looking at all of those areas. And then, by the way, it could be something you're putting off as well. There might be something you're not looking at, like maybe there's a finances that you're not looking at, or a phone call you're not making with, you know, somebody in your life. And viewing those things and going, what could make me elevate just a little bit more today, right? What could give me just a little bit more energy? And eventually, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight, but over time, if we're committed to the process, we're going to fall in love with this journey of becoming our greatest self. And that's what I think it's all about, is not about that check the box. I crossed this finish line. I made this amount of money. And yeah, those are important. But if you're not enjoying the journey along the way and trusting all these gifts that are coming in for you and these paths that are opening up and these people that are coming to you, then we're not going to be true to ourselves, because they're all around us. We just have to listen and see the whispers and check out the signs. Because once we start doing that, life gets pretty magical. And there's some amazing opportunities if you come our way, if we're open to them.
It's funny. I've met a lot of people who are very resistant to this idea. And there'll always be these excuses. Well, I don't have time to go for a run. Mm. You know, it's like, I'm not the kind of person who does that kind of thing. You know, I could never have cold showers or anything like that. I mean, how do you deal with people who just don't have the time in their lives? You know, we'll always come back with kind of reasons or excuses and just say, well, I can't, I have no window for opportunity. Right. I've got, I mean, you're a father, you know, I've got the kids to look after. I've got after school clubs. I've got like all this work to do at the same time. How can you help people find space for that kind of wellness, that wellness practice that puts them in a better state tomorrow?
The person I built up after being that sensitive kid and that really diehard, you know, I'm going to go after everything in corporate and be an athlete, would have been like, just suck it up and do it. You know, how could you not, you know? But doesn't work with people, because then that triggers defense and this and that. But what I learned is seeing them and meeting them from where they're at, right? It's meeting them with compassion first and foremost. Okay. Let's look at why you're saying what you're saying, and then dissecting these minutes, these little things that they're making excuses or they're being victimized by, right? Again, I don't say that you're being victimized. Of course, some of you are getting a little bit triggered when I say that, but I want you to pay close attention to the language that you're using with yourself, right? And when we can look at that language, and we can really break down the barriers of, can you move? Okay, if you can't move, if you're not going to be moving right now or not breathing and getting oxygen to your body, is your body going to start breaking down? Are you going to end up in the, you know, getting sick or disease or even falling and creating something? Like, I think all of these things that come into our lives are here to teach us something. Right. So if we're not taking care of ourselves now and putting the money out or creating the time, there's a possibility that later it's going to happen in hospital bills or pharmaceuticals or other things. But you're the one that gets to put the oxygen mask on now first. Right. Again, being the best version of you and looking at, am I ready to change? Well, okay, maybe right now in this moment you're not, but maybe next week you will be. Yep. Right. And when that time is right, I'm not trying. I mean, I was a good motivator and when I teach in front of classes, but you know, that was in a group energy right there. You know, we have to really get to the bottom of what are you really covering up here? Why aren't you moving? And know that the first couple times you move or put something good into your mouth or put out a little extra money for something that's going to show a bit of self-love, you know, that is going to be met with resistance. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. The resistance happens at first, but know that you're worth it. Like, it's not about fixing anything. It's not about saying I'm too old or I have too much on my plate. It's about going, no, you can find time. I haven't met anybody that I've worked with that we haven't been able to create time or a space where they haven't been able to take care of themselves. Right. Those excuses are just that. They're excuses that we're making up to protect that, what you talked about earlier, that inner discomfort that we're so used to, right? That has happened in our entire lives, that we know our souls know there's about to be a change. So we fight. And my whole thing is, let's learn to dance. Let's learn to meet this resistance and go, this will make me stronger. Once I step out of this and do these things that are going to shift and put these chemicals into my body, amazing. You're going to feel amazing. Because every challenge you overcome, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, a little bit of a challenge is going to release a little hit of dopamine. That dopamine is going to make you feel really good. It's going to give you some clarity. It's going to, and then it happens again, and then it happens again. So meet those challenges. State like three things a day that you're going to accomplish. That's it. Just three small things a day. And if you do that every day for 7 days, what is that? 21, and then add that to the month. You're moving towards something, but start small and just get that little bit of momentum going. Cause once it gets going, there's going to be a tipping point and you're going to be unstoppable when it hits that tipping point.
How much do you think, you know, there has to be a physical aspect to it? Cause you know, people talk about mind, body, spirit a lot of the time, but when you're dealing with kind of professionals who are big earners, or they're kind of, you know, their success is all tied to their performance at work. You know, they're not always kind of people who are focusing a lot on their physical body. You know, they might be whining and dining clients. They might be going out late nights, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How much is kind of our notion of success actually about all of those three things coming together, you know, looking after yourself mentally, physically, and kind of spiritually as well, nurturing those three things?
I think everybody is going to have a different way of moving, right? And we're going to meet them where they are. Like, I'm not going to take someone who hasn't moved in 20 years and say, all right, let's go do a marathon, right? Let's get them walking. I mean, studies show once you get that movement happening and that blood flowing, you're going to be a lot sharper and a lot more clear where you need to go. So I think movement is essential. Without a doubt. If you haven't been moving, let's find a way to move. You know, if you have a hip issue or knees or whatever, well, you can possibly even, you know, swim or find a way to do an upper body exercise, or there's always something you can do to get the blood flow. Sauna is an amazing, amazing tool to kind of get the heart rate up. I mean, the studies on sauna use right now they're through the roof as far as how great they are for you and your performance and your brain function and so on and so forth. I'll let the experts take care of that. Dr. Rhonda Patrick, if you want to look at her work, she has some amazing studies on that. Sweating, moving, starting to change the diet, getting the inflammation down in your body, right? Rather than just talking about pharmaceuticals, I think there's a time and a place for pharmaceuticals and the doctors, but there's other ways. There's way too much information at your fingertips right now that you can start to research and start to get into. So that takes care of kind of the body aspect. I think it's our temple. It's essential to keeping us performing at our best. The mind, right, is meditation, breath work, all this stuff is being able to kind of know that you have 70,000 thoughts in a day, understanding that when those thoughts come in, we get to observe those and see those. But if you are into meditation or whatever works for you, bringing it back and saying, okay, let's get connected to the present moment. What are ways of getting connected to the present moment? Our senses, smelling, tasting, hearing, touching, you know, even rubbing our fingertips together, just gently rubbing our fingertips together and really feeling the ridges and listening to our breath, or taking a bite of food and really tasting the textures and all of the flavors that come out. All of that stuff brings us center. It's just being present with where we're at in our lives. And then spiritually, you know, wherever that is for you, you know, it can be religious for some, it can be connecting to nature, it could be a form of, you know, yoga, whatever it is. It's, I'm not trying to put a label on what spirituality is. Whatever works for you and whatever your definition of it is, I feel for me, it's about connection. It's about doing good. It's about taking care. It's about listening, and you know, healing the earth and humans. So, you know, all of those things combined, I think are essential. It's just a matter of bringing attention and energy to them. And if you are caught up in the old ways in this business and making money, yes, what we're saying is those things will just make you a better version of you, right? And again, I go back to that question. Are you truly, do you want to keep up doing this for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years? Can you? Do you have the energy to do that? Right? Then what? Are we working towards just the finish line of retirement? Right? Because I've worked with plenty of people that have done that, and there's a lack of fulfillment, and all of that busy, busy, busy work now gets replaced with a lot of anxiety because they have nothing to fill that. So it's always about creating that purpose. And some of the happiest retirees that I have know, and I can, I actually call friends, they keep their plates full. They keep working and moving and taking care of themselves and creating new little higher purpose activities all the time so that they're engaged. It's not just about going and settling into the couch. It's about being engaged and loving life and being curious about what's next. What can I be involved in? I think that curiosity is key.
Do you think that there is this kind of sense of we're constantly striving for more, you know, our attention is focused on the striving and the future and kind of getting more and more and more to the point where we're not really paying attention to where we are right now and our current state of happiness and all that kind of thing. Yet we don't really know what we're striving for. We don't know what the end goal is going to be. When do we stop striving? Do you ever get that sense from people that they're just on this train and they've got to stay on the train, but they don't really know what station they're going to get off at or why they're even on the train in the first place.
Right. I think it comes back to leading with fear. It's like, you know, not being able to look at where they're at and saying, I've been on this for so long. Do I want to continue being on this way of life? And some, by the way, I'm not saying nobody's broken, right? Some of us, we just have tunnel vision. We just have a way of looking at things that, if we could just open our eyes and take a moment to be present with where we're at right now, with doing the hardest thing is accepting where we are right now. That doesn't mean we're not going to strive for something new, but it's kind of finding the gratitude in all of this. I think if anything, you know, these past couple of years have taught us that, you know, to find the gratitude in life, to find the areas within ourselves that are pure, that are amazing, right? But in that process, there's also these things that have come up and have been under this, you know, microscope of, oh, it's time to look at me. You know, Mother Nature sent us to our room for a couple of years. And now as we to look at certain things, because, you know, call it what you want, but none of the stuff we had that we've looked at over the past 2 years happened because of COVID. Everything has already been there. It just has amplified right now. So we get to choose. And fortunately, you know, now we get an opportunity to say, no, I don't want to go back to the way it was, or I'm shifting into this direction, right? Like, it's an opportunity now to change the way we've been doing things. And even there are some people that have kind of felt, you know, complacent in this time of lockdown. And it's like, now I'm trying to shake up a lot of my clients, go, okay, time to move. You're doing it. It's time to go into a different way right now. This isn't working, right? Get rid of some of those bad habits of sitting around and doing all your things. Like, let's get into what you want to do. What's going to make you excited? What's going to give you some energy in your life that's going to get you up on a Monday morning, Tuesday, and not run to the weekend, but run to Monday. Say, I can't wait to experience what this is for me. So get into nature, do those things, experiment. Not everything's going to be like, oh, it's going to be perfect for you, but you have an inkling, you have an idea of what that could be, right? So just look at that and say, this is time to change, and ask for help, by the way, right? This is I think a big misnomer is that so many people think they can do it on their own and shake it up on their own. Find a team, find some people that are going to find a mastermind group, find a group of men, a group of women that can support each other, that can hold the mirror up, right? There's so, again, we have technology at our fingertips. It's there. But you got to meet that resistance and then push through that resistance, right? Dance with that resistance to find that those things that you don't know of yet. You don't know what's out there until you put that energy out and then see what comes back.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true, especially that last point you were saying about finding other people out there, right? I've just gone into a kind of co-mentoring relationship with another professional. And that whole idea is about getting someone else's perspective on what might be going on with you.
That's right.
You know, especially when you're attached to stuff, you know, you think, I just don't have time. And you know, someone could say, well, are you sure about that? Are you sure you don't have time? Because I bet if we were to sit down and go through your schedule, we could find time, you know, and whatever these excuses might be.
Yeah.
when you're talking about changing patterns and kind of identifying patterns that don't serve us and shifting them onto things that do, no matter how long that takes, some of them are pretty easy to spot. You know, if you're living a sedentary lifestyle, eating a bad diet, you know, you've got a kind of negative kind of internal narrative.
Right.
But what about some of the other habits and routines we fall into that we may not necessarily be aware of? You know, some of the things that, you know, you talked about kind of fear coming out sideways as anger or alcoholism or, you know, weird kind of behavioral issues that we don't know are actually connected to something deeper and more meaningful. Mm-hmm. How can you start to unpick that and find out those kind of more subtle things that aren't serving you any longer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it's just, you kind of answered it, but it's looking at those little things that we go through throughout the day. Right? Like, for example, you know, you wake up in the morning, do you go right for your phone? Right? And if that's the case, like, what are you trying to shift in your head or in your heart? Why are you going right for your phone? So that's a big one. I think a lot of people do. And the next thing you know, they're looking at reels or they're lost for the next 15 minutes where they could have been up doing some writing or, you know, getting a nice cup of tea and really nurturing themselves. Mindful, you know, I'm, you know, conscious coach, but mindlessly people are putting things in their bodies that's no longer serving them. Again, we talked about this earlier about how can we vibrate at a higher level and feel more energetic in order to really get connected to ourselves. But it's, you know, the calendar, how we do things, you know, what are the triggers that start to come up for us? Who are the people in our lives? You know, I've worked with, you know, some people in offices and they're like, well, this person, this happened today. And here it is that, you know, Jeff, that happened again with Jeff. And they're like, okay, great. Well, what do you think Jeff keeps doing? Is he doing this intentionally to screw with you? Well, yeah, sure. Well, why do you keep getting triggered by it? What is that unresolved issue within yourself, right? So we're looking at life's moments and situations and we're putting them under a microscope and we're seeing, are there any patterns here that keep coming up over and over again that we're not able to fully understand quite yet or that we're getting angry at? And then once we look at those, right, then we get to say, is this serving you? Can we make some shifts here? And it's amazing because the little shifts that we make lead to such bigger opportunities. You know, I had a client that called me up that I've known for years. And she's like, I just need some help breaking this chocolate addiction I have in the afternoon. And I'm like, oh, really? Right. And so we started talking and we started coaching and this and that. And what it came down to wasn't about the chocolate addiction at all. Right. And we knew that. But it was about her lack of satisfaction at work. It was about the people she was surrounding herself with on a regular basis that were coming and operating out of a place of fear. It was about her filling her day with more purpose and seeing how can she just not do the job responsibilities that she had, right? How can she become more productive in what she's doing so she feels this sense of purpose, so she's leaving a legacy. And by the way, she was on her way to retirement. But what happened in the course of that year is not only did she not retire, but she got promoted to the C-suite as the CMO of a major healthcare industry because she was able to shift that mindset of I think that I need to just get through the day and I don't like this habit and I don't like this, I don't like that. She was able to shift it towards more purpose and fulfillment. Right. And by the way, that the other client I was telling you about, the first conversation we had is I just need to lose 10 pounds. I'm not fulfilled in my body. And then after a session, we found out the disruption in the marriage and the communication and all this and all that. And then we eventually got to what we unpacked earlier. But we all make these excuses of there's something just not right. I'm a little bit overweight or this or that. There's always something deeper if you have the courage to go in and say, okay, what is that? I need to see that and I need to be free of that. Because I think we have the ability to feel free within ourselves, right? But like one of my fellow coaches says, you know, Peter Crone, he has this beautiful quote. He says, life is going to present you with the people and the circumstances that will show you where you're not free. right? And those things are going to keep coming, and they're going to keep showing you where you're locked, where you're held up, where you're not free. And I think we all have the ability to free ourselves and to be happy.
Do you think that people come to you, or they start looking for a change? I mean, in when you're dealing with athletes and you're coaching athletes, these are people who are already good at their job. You know, they're already excelling, but they just want to increase that performance. Do you find that people on a kind of personal life level only come seeking help or seeking change or start doing the work when they hit a kind of pain point and it gets to rock bottom? Or do you find that there are people who are performing well and they want to perform even better?
Well, unfortunately, the majority, the first people hit that pain point,
right?
They hit that pain point, but there are people, there's that small percentage, that 20-30% that are like, I'm performing really well and I want to perform better. And how can I get out of my own way? What am I not seeing? So yes, the pain points are there and they're important, but they're not to be like hated. They're there to be embraced, because I wouldn't have seen it without that. But then there's that point of these athletes that are keep going higher and higher and higher, and they reach this level of getting stuck because they're constantly operating from a place of, I need to do better. I need to be the best. I need to be the best. Is that a lack of unworthiness that they're feeling within themselves? And that could be the case. Or they just really love what they do, you know, and they want to perform at their ultimate success and best. And we got to find ways of working with that and treating those small little things that keep coming up. So yes, it's both, but I'd say the majority hit the pain point for sure.
Yeah. I think most people will have some kind of pain or dissatisfaction or something in their lives that they're not happy with, whether that's their weight, their job, their, you know, insecurities, the kind of negative self-talk or something like that. What is just one simple piece of advice you could give to anyone who wants to, who is dissatisfied or struggling with one aspect of their life, or, you know, various aspects of their life? Is there something that they can take away to get started?
Yeah. Well, I would say, like, I think we said it earlier, is really just reaching out for help, you know, and that doesn't have to be just a coach, but it could be reaching out to a group. It could be reaching out to finding a great book, listening to podcasts, like looking at that pain point, looking at that place within you that is not free, and maybe even taking on a couple of things, like dedicating yourself to a meditation program, a breathwork program, starting to write a little bit, just getting moving on a regular basis. That's going to disrupt energy, right? And move things around. You know, teaching breathwork, you know, they say when we do this and we move this amazing amount of energy and oxygen through the body, they say the issues are in the tissues. And when we can get the movement up and moving, that's going to bring up emotions, right? But have the courage to feel your feelings, give yourself space to feel those feelings. And again, you don't have to do it alone. You know, if something's really painful and there's a lot of trauma, see a therapist, right? That's what they're here for. I think therapy is like the mind gym, you know. It's amazing to be able to go to a therapist and see things. Again, could it be hard? Sure, but it's going to be worth it. Look at a coach that's going to help you kind of identify where you are right now, but move and give you the tools to where you're going. Find that group, you know, that you were mentioning, a team of some sort. You know, there's so many different things, but the whole point is get into action, right? If we're going to sit around wishing that we could do something different or dreaming, yeah, that could be, but the universe doesn't respond to wishes. The universe responds to action. Like, so truly get into movement, action, pick up the phone, make that phone call to that person that you haven't made it to, you know, put out, redo your resume, look for people that are doing what you would love to do and ask them to have coffee, right? Just there is environments that you're drawn to, but go after those, get curious, shine the light on those. Cause I think there's something really there for so many people. But it takes courage in order to move into that next position. But it will keep moving, and it will get better, and it will get better if you keep walking, ascending up that second mountain.
Perfect. Well, that's, I think that's a brilliant message to end on. Chris, thank you so much for that. A really motivating conversation. I really feel energized after that, like you were saying before. If people want to find out more about you, your work, and all the things that you do, where is the best place for them to go?
Yeah, I'd say my website, chrisplord.com. And a whole bunch of information. I got some workshop series coming out. You can get a free breathwork class if you want to try that. Some other classes you can take with me online that will all be on there. If not now, pretty soon. And my Instagram handle is at Coach Chris Plord. And then that pretty much covers, I mean, there's Facebook you can look at too, my name, but that pretty much is it. You can find me there, or you can just directly email me for a discovery call. If that's something you want to just explore, we can have a chat and see if it's right for you at this time.
So. Fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. Right. Okay. Well, I will leave you to it. Thank you so much for a brilliant and inspiring conversation. I really enjoyed that.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
So there you go, a fantastic conversation with Chris Plord there, really motivating and inspiring, and we can all do better, be better, and have, you know, much better lives, much more motivating and inspiring lives if we just kind of embrace it. You know, step up to life and life will step up to meet you. That's my kind of mantra. Right, so you can check out his website. He's at www.chrisplord.com, and that's Plourde. And these links will all be in the show notes. You can find those at Conversations on Living or wherever you get your podcasts. So conversationonliving.com, and obviously any platform. I'm on Apple, Spotify, all the big platforms. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Next week, I'll be speaking to friend of the podcast, Kim Forrester. She'll be back and we'll be talking again about Psy as she relaunches her book, Infinite Mind. And Psy is all of those kind of things that science can't really give a name to, that you know, are kind of now being documented as real phenomena. So we're going to be talking about that, exploring some of those topics and how we can use this to make our lives a little bit better and to guide us in a way. So check out that one. That's next week. And in the meantime, find us at conversationsonliving.com. And until then, have a fantastic day.